Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so let's talk taxes. Sales taxes. Right now, you pay that extra 6.25% on a lot of things, from restaurant food to laundry detergent to bigger things like a boat. So what about software, or more specifically, so-called computer services?
Well, soon you will be paying a tax on that as well. In late July, the legislature enacted a new sales tax on computer services, which can include everything from building new websites to modifying software to analyzing data from another company.
The tax went into effect on the first of this month. It's the highest such tax in the nation, and it caught many in the tech world off guard. Massachusetts takes pride in its innovation economy, and one business advocate calls the new computer services sales tax, quote, the most anti-competitive piece of legislation he's ever seen, and that it will, quote, cause incalculable damage to job creation in Massachusetts. So will it? Will paying an extra 6.25% for someone to design your website be a better kind or worse kind of sales tax as we shift ever more into a service-based economy? We'll take a closer look into this with a number of people today, and we'll begin with Callum Borchers, business reporter for the Boston Globe. Callum, good to have you back.
Great to be with you, Meghna.
So give us the sort of rundown on how we got to this point. Many in the business world say they were totally caught off guard by this new sales tax on computer services, and yet it was in a transportation financing bill that took months to work its way through Beacon Hill.
Yeah, that's true, although I think the fact that it was sort of tucked into a transportation bill might be why it sort of slipped under the radar. If you looked at just sort of the headline on this $800 million package, you could have missed this sort of footnote, but it's actually quite large. It could be $160 million a year or more. The biggest problem, as the tech industry sees it, is that the law is actually worded rather vaguely, Meghna, where they're not really sure what types of computer services precisely are or are not going to be taxed. And the concern is that instead of paying about $160 million a year, that total might be more like $500 million,
right,
which is really raising alarm bells.
Well, I actually have the language of that's from the bill right here in front of me, and it's worth reading because it gets to one of these issues that you just mentioned. So the new sales tax will apply to, quote, computer system design services, the planning, consulting, or designing of computer systems that integrate computer hardware, software, or communication technologies and are provided by a vendor or third party. So what does that mean?
Well, it is a bit dense. A lot of it seems to come down to the difference between pre-written software and custom software, which can get a little tricky. I'll give you one example. Take a standard pre-written software package that most of us use, Microsoft Office, right? So if you hire an IT support company to provide Microsoft Office to you and they install it, you will pay taxes not only on the purchase of Microsoft Office, but also on the labor, the services that they perform. However, if you were to buy Microsoft Office by yourself, and then you hired an IT consultant to come in and do the troubleshooting or the installation and that kind of thing, you would not pay a tax on that. And so that's a small distinction. You know, in one case, there is a transfer of a pre-written software. In the second case, there is not. But boy, it's kind of dizzying even as I walk myself through it.
Right. And it's complicated, it's vague, but it has the potential to have a profound impact on a huge swath of Massachusetts businesses. I mean, everything from retail organizations that design or that need specifically designed systems to track sales and manage inventory to healthcare insurers, who are managing costs and looking after premiums, to data analytics and everything that means. So, I mean, do you have a sense as to how much of the Massachusetts economy we're talking about here?
Well, just to give you some perspective, I mean, you look at the coalition of business leaders who are strongly opposed to this new tech tax. It includes companies that we wouldn't necessarily lump into that classic tech sector, right? So Staples, BJ's, Boston Scientific. So it's not just companies that we think of as being, you know, predominantly in the tech sector. And, you know, the timing of this is curious as well. Remember, you know, I actually just had a chance to write this morning about Massachusetts ranking second, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, for tech job growth in the first half half of this year. And this is precisely the concern, right, is that we are becoming fastly one of the best growing tech sectors in the country. And will this have the potential to slow down that growth?
Is their argument essentially that because now there'll be an additional 6.25% tax on the services that they provide, that it automatically puts them in a less competitive position vis-a-vis other companies, and we're talking companies as small as, you know, one or two people to the big ones that you're talking about, like BJ's, who are based elsewhere in the country?
Well, that is a big part of the argument, because keep in mind that this law instantly makes Massachusetts a huge outlier. Only three other states in the country tax computer services in this way, and none of them tax it at a higher rate than 4%. So at 6.25%, you know, Massachusetts is already in a small class of people who tax it, period, and among the few who do, they're at the very top. And already you have other states, you know, we heard last week Governor Rick Scott down in Florida, right, you know, urging
come to Florida,
Massachusetts, book your one-way ticket to the Sunshine State, right? And, you know, how much of that is actually going to happen, who knows? But, you know, business leaders are looking at that and saying, and look, you know, he says that half in jest, but, you know, it could be something to consider. I mean, keep in mind the timing here. You know, we're all writing in you know, the tech media about how Kendall Square is getting so expensive right now for rents and whatnot. People are getting priced out of there, moving maybe to the Innovation District in South Boston, but even that is becoming expensive. And then the question is, you know, so what's going to be the next tech hotspot? And I'm hearing people say, well, maybe Davis Square is going to be it. Yeah, maybe, but part of the industry's worry is that, well, maybe the next hotspot won't be in Greater Boston at all.
Right. So there's a lot to dig in here, Callum, and I'm going to bring in a couple other voices to do so. But before that, you know, you're a business reporter for The Globe. You've taken a look at the economy across the state. I'm wondering if you can give me your sort of measured assessment to the tone of the reaction that's been coming from the business community. I'm looking at a quotation from Michael Widmer, who's the head of the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation, a business-backed group. But he's usually pretty measured. And what he says here in response to this tax is that it is the most anti-competitive piece of legislation in his 21 years as head of the Taxpayers Foundation. And he says it will cause incalculable damage to job creation and the Massachusetts economy. Is a computer services tax that bad?
You know, it's a really tough question to answer right now, because you know, the tone that I'm picking up from folks that I talk to is still just this feeling out process, right? It's still the biggest reaction. Number one word I would describe is just confusion. They're not entirely sure whether this tax is going to apply to their businesses or some or all of what they do. And, you know, the state, to its credit, is doing its best to sort that out, but even their explanations are kind of dense. I mean, there's like a 44, you know, point FAQ section on the Department of Revenue's website. It's still quite dense to navigate through that. And I think that, you know, within a few months, when folks really sort out what they're going to be paying taxes on, then we'll have a better idea of just how much damage it will actually cause.
Right. And today I see that State Senator Karen Spilka has announced her intention to file a bill to repeal the tech tax. She is one of the many legislators on Beacon Hill who voted for it just a couple weeks ago. And we should also know that she is running for Ed Markey, who's now in the Senate, his old congressional seat. But anyway, obviously, the outrage from the business and tech community across the state has gotten the attention of folks on Beacon Hill. Callum Borchers, stick with us for a moment. I'd like to, first of all, throw some questions out to listeners. Listeners, do you do website design? Do you do data analytics here in Massachusetts? What do you make of the fact that now your services will be subject to a 6.25% tax? Is it the way to go in terms of how the economy is shifting towards a more technology and service-based economy here in Massachusetts? Or is it a job and innovation killer? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So Callum, stand by for just a moment. I'd like to introduce into the conversation Andy Singleton. He's president of Assembla. It's a Needham-based tech company that sells web-based software for globally distributed programming teams. Andy Singleton, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us is State Senator Michael Rodriguez. He's the chair of the Revenue Committee in the legislature. Senator Rodriguez, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
So I'm going to come to Andy Singleton in a moment, but let me start with you, Senator Rodriguez. I mean, you're chair of the Revenue Committee. Do you think that this vaguely worded computer services tax is ultimately a good idea to fund transportation in Massachusetts?
Well, we thought so when we enacted it. It was, and you have to really put all this in perspective and look at the history. This wasn't sprung upon individuals or taxpayers, that the governor put a very broad tax proposal in his budget in January. We looked at it. His software tax proposal was very, very far-reaching and included everything. So as part of the negotiations on trying to reach our goal of providing a dedicated, sustainable revenue stream to pay for transportation infrastructure in the Commonwealth, we looked at his proposal, and we more narrowly defined what is taxable and what is not taxable relative to computer software. Mm.
But what about Senator Rodriguez, what about the fact that Callum Borsch has brought up that I understand about narrowly tailoring the tax to what it could apply to, but it's still 6.25%, the highest in the nation, because our sales tax is so high.
Our sales tax, because we have such a progressive sales tax, we do not tax a lot of products. Rate is much less than what other states do, because there are many local sales taxes on top of the state sales tax. But we are very cognizant of that. We've heard the tech community loud and clear. We're very sympathetic, and the last thing we want to do is to shoot the goose that lays a golden egg.
Right. So, Senator, stand by. On that point, let me bring in Andy Singleton here. Andy Singleton, what effect do you think, with everything that Senator Rodriguez just said, taken into consideration, but what effect do you think this tax, as it is now, may have on your business in particular?
Well, there's a lot of talk being given to making the tax less damaging, which raises the question of why it was ever passed in the first place. So they're trying to make it less damaging by narrowing the number of transactions that it applies to. But it's still very bad public policy. From my point of view, there is a cost, and so that's sort of the first of three major problems with this tax. It could be the largest single tax that I pay if the state of Massachusetts wants to tax all of the computer services, computer system design services that I use to design my own product. So you have to imagine that a tech business, and these are the fastest growing employers in the state, a tech business would pay the tax both buying and selling. So it starts to multiply up. Mm-hmm. There's also a cost of compliance. So the legislative guys took 5 or 10 hours to sort of try to make this a little bit better tax, but they were extremely careless with it. And the result is that we're spending 5,000 or 10,000 hours in lawyer and accounting time. And believe me, the lawyers and the accountants do not agree about what this tax applies to.
The second
problem, in addition to cost, is uncertainty. So this tax applies to the modifications of pre-written software, but it also applies to open source software, which is an extremely unique situation in the United States. There's no real line between modifying open source software and modifying custom software that has open source components. Mm. Since virtually all custom software has open source components, it's always going to be possible for the state of Massachusetts to come back, do an audit, and claim this tax retroactively.
Andy Singleton, let me jump in there and ask you a question, because I take your point that the legislation as it stands, the law, is very vague. And Senator Rodriguez has told us that they're currently working on narrowing and tailoring it so it's more clear on exactly what is to be taxed. But I'm curious about what you think. You're a president of a Massachusetts tech company. Is it two questions for you. Let's start with the first one. Is this bad enough that you think some of your colleagues, maybe you yourself, would consider moving out of state to not have to deal with this tax here?
Well, absolutely. I can tell you that most of the conversations that I've been having with guys like me, many of whom have much bigger businesses, have been about how to avoid selling in Massachusetts, how to avoid invoicing in Massachusetts. These are the things that trigger responsibility on the part of the vendor, and how to make sure that our service operations are located outside the state of Massachusetts. Mm. Now, you might wonder, why is that important? If the buyer is paying the tax and the buyer is in the state of Massachusetts, why is it important for the vendor to be outside of the state? It's important because if you don't have what they call nexus in the state of Massachusetts, you're not responsible for collecting the tax as a vendor. It goes to the user, and it's called a use tax. And it's a very different situation. You're not exposed to these retroactive audits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the big companies that would be most affected by this, guys like SAP and Oracle, have not complained very loudly about the tax. And there's two reasons for that. First, they can easily make sure that the bill is paid outside the state of Massachusetts. They're not going to be so stupid as to actually sell in the state of Massachusetts. The second reason is because the state of Massachusetts is a big buyer of their software, and they're extremely intimidated by this, and they're afraid to speak out.
Right.
So if you wonder, you know, is this audit situation a difficult situation for software companies? Obviously it is.
Senator Rodriguez, let me give you a chance to respond to what Andy Singleton says. He's laying out a whole bunch of reasons why he does not like this idea and sees it as, you know, damaging to Massachusetts.
Yeah, and we hear Andy loud and clear, and that's why we're looking at this. Like I said, you have to look at this in perspective. The law that was signed by the governor in July is the exact same language that was passed by the House of Representatives back in April. And back in April, when the House passed their version of the tax plan, of which the Senate mirrored almost exactly, you know, we got congratulatory letters from Chris Anderson from the Mass High Tech Council. We got a press release from Michael Widmer saying that we passed a very fair and responsible tax plan that would address the real needs of transportation infrastructure here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's only been over the past couple of weeks that we've been hearing all these objections, and we're taking them very seriously.
Well, we've got a lot of response over Twitter to this. Ward Van De Weeg says the tech tax is unfair. Why is the tech sector singled out? A sales tax is the least efficient way to generate tax revenue. Someone named Lynn Lupine or Lupien says, as a graphic designer, how is what I do different than the services of a plumber? Web design is not a physical sale. This is ridiculous. We've got a lot of callers who want to join us, so let's turn to Tom, who's calling from Framingham. You're on the air, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's your thought today?
I own a small IT services company, so my job is to help small businesses with their help desk and helping their end users and managing their networks. And I can tell you that this law came as just a complete shock and a real blindside. There are three problems I have with it, and I'm not one of these folks who believes that there shouldn't be any taxes to help fund infrastructure and roads. But first of all, I would disagree with the logic behind this tax in that the kinds of companies that they're targeting really aren't very heavy users of roadways, so I can't quite understand why they are being singled out as opposed to other services which are more heavily using of the roadways. The second problem is that the law is just so badly worded and so vague. I have no idea on a monthly basis what is taxable work I do versus non-taxable work I do, so I basically just told my customers I'm just going to be charging the tax across the board just to protect myself. And that's a real problem. The third problem I would have with this is that I'm a small business. I've only got 5 employees. But this is not something which is really going to impact large companies like Staples or BJ's. I mean, they can operate outside the state. They can get around this very easily. It really affects small businesses like my own, which are really the drivers in the mass economy.
Tom, thank you so much for your call and your perspective there. Let's get another call really quickly here from David, who's calling from the Back Bay. You're on the air, David.
Well, hi there. Well, I can't get into the technicalities, but in terms of the principle of distributing tax burden, it would seem to me that we all have to pay various parts of the burden. So the tech industry depends on influx of educated technical people, many of whom are educated at universities that don't pay much taxes in Massachusetts, use the infrastructure. The people in western Massachusetts are now going to be resuming paying tolls on the western tolls. And effectively, we have a tax on the poor that we call legalized gambling. So I just see this as part of the distribution of the tax burden for the Commonwealth among the various users.
David, thank you so much for your call. Callum Borchers, business reporter for the Boston Globe. I know you're still with us. There's a sort of step back question I want to ask you and our other guests here today. As software or as computer services become more of, I mean, services become the product, you know, as you were talking earlier about even things like Microsoft Word, which are individually tailored for individual businesses, is there any way forward to, it's still a product, it's just the service is a product, is there any legitimate way forward to levy a sales tax on that?
It seems to me that that's sort of an attempt, what this is sort of an attempt to do just that. And I think that part of the logic, although the senator would probably speak even better to this, is that if you're going to sort of single out any particular industry, I think there's an argument to be made that it makes sense to target an industry that is as robust and fast-growing as our tech sector in Massachusetts, right? Because if you have a very fragile industry, let's say, where there's, you know, businesses are sort of on the cusp of leaving anyway, you know, you could really run a real risk right there. I really wonder how legitimate these threats of leaving the state are. I mean, we have so many other magnets here in Massachusetts, right? Between MIT and Harvard and the robust center of tech startups that Kendall Square has become. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to stay in Massachusetts, and I just wonder whether one factor, adding this tax, is really going to be enough to drive them away.
Andy Singleton, let me get your response to that. Do you think that, I mean, what's your response to Callum's question?
Well, it's a very ignorant view of economics. Economists will always tell you that a targeted tax is a bad way to raise revenue. It's a very good way to reduce demand and destroy industries. For instance, we apply targeted taxes to cigarettes. We apply them to gas consumption because we don't like imported oil. A broad-based tax which covered all kinds of services would be much better at raising revenue and would produce much less economic distortion, meaning the strong industries would grow stronger, which is what you want. You want the strong industries to grow stronger. You don't care about the weaker industries. That's why it's an ignorant view of economics. This is exactly the wrong public policy. So there's an argument to be made, oh, do I have to pay more? Do you have to pay more, et cetera? But economists are generally agreed on that point.
So what about this question of, as software or IT as a whole moves aggressively towards more service-based industry, is there any room for taxation there?
Well, it's a very difficult situation if you're a taxing jurisdiction, because these are the most mobile jobs in the world. So 6.25% might not have a very big impact on most industries. But this industry, remember, these jobs are not only the best jobs, they're non-polluting, they don't use very many roads, they're high-paying, but they're also the most mobile. So it's going to have the most effect in the IT industry. A lot of people don't know that the oil industry is actually the most heavily taxed industry because they can't move their wealth. And those are the kinds of people that you target with these targeted taxes.
Mm. Senator Rodriguez?
But it's a very difficult, if I could just respond.
Sure.
The potential is, since I basically buy and sell my product not in the state of Massachusetts, I just have an address here, but my product is sold in 100 countries, and it's produced in 15. If one government tries to tax all of my transactions, there's going to be a mad scramble among the jurisdictions, and it's a very difficult problem for the future.
Well, Senator Rodriguez, we've just got a minute or so here left to go. Obviously, a lot of the discomfort in the tech and business world in Massachusetts still lies over all the uncertainty that's surrounding this. So what can you tell them about the next steps that the legislature is going to take to possibly provide more certainty about where this tax is headed?
And I think that's a very good question, because I think that the Department of Revenue, I know the Department of Revenue, who are charged with actually not only collecting this tax, we're promulgating the regs and promulgating the direction of how these taxes will be collected, has heard the issues and the complaints and legitimate uncertainty that folks are having over just what is taxable and what's not. And they're working hard to try to clear up as many uncertainties as possible. Secondly, the legislature is going to begin in September engaging in some very broad tax discussions, because I think you hit the nail on the head, as you mentioned earlier, that as our economy is switching from products and goods to a service-based economy, how do we adjust our tax code to meet the 21st century economy? And there's lots of discussion about that. I know in Washington, there's lots of debate, and the Senate did pass the collection of sales tax over internet-based purchases. So all of this is being discussed. None of this has fallen on deaf ears. We hear the concerns loud and clear.
Well, and I'm going to take it from you there, Senator Rodriguez, because I know our listeners are hearing you as well. Senator Michael Rodriguez, chair of the Revenue Committee on Beacon Hill, thank you so much for your time today.
It is my pleasure, and thank you to all the callers, and thank you to the gentlemen that were part of this panel, because they bring really good insight into the debate.
Well, those gentlemen include Andy Singleton, who's president of Assembla, a Needham-based tech company. Andy Singleton also a true pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Callum Borchers, business reporter for the Boston Globe. You are great for our big picture analysis. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Callum. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always fun. Thanks, Megan.
Listeners, let us know what you think about this tech tax at our website, radioboston.org. But stick with us for now because there's much more of the show coming up. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.